Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. With a voice that is soulful and a style that blends the best of R&B, Afropop, and neo-soul textures, Lungisa has become a fixture and a force to take note of. With influences ranging from Jonathan Butler and Boyz II Men to Frank Sinatra and Black Coffee, Lungisa has cultivated a sound that is both contemporary, young, fresh, and yet familiar. This sensational artist looks ahead to a future saturated with massive contributions to the direction of the South African sound, international collaboration, entrepreneurship, and a new twist to charity work. Having been a South African Pop Idol finalist and South African Music Award winner, Lungisa is a rising star whose magic is not to be missed. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio, I've got Lungisa. Thank you for joining me live in studio today. Tell me, how are you doing and what's happening in your world?
Oh, thanks for having me, man. Pleasure to be here. What's happening in my world? Really, just me coming back to the industry, you know, after leaving for quite some time. And yeah, just trying to, you know, get back on my feet and show what I got.
Okay, so you said you left for a period of time. Why and what were you doing?
Yeah, I left for certain reasons. I had just released an album, did quite well. And then obviously COVID hit. And then, you know, artists, the slump that we all went through. But some don't recover, you know. And I think I was, you know, one of those people that that took it badly, the hits from that time. And then after my album did well, won an award for it. And then, you know, the break really was to, you know, discover myself, who I am, come up with something different. There was a time period, I think about last year, where I was really not writing, not, you know, not inspired, and didn't know where to go. And, you know, sometimes you've got to take that break, you know, just to find yourself. And I think that's what I was doing.
Now let's rewind all the way back to young Lungisa, whatever age that might be. What, when and how were you inspired to join the music or entertainment industry? And tell us your journey into the industry up until the present.
Yeah. Oh, man. If you're telling me to go way, way back, mm-hmm. way back in time.
Yeah.
Probably like really, really young. I started in church. That's, you know, where most R&B singers actually start, you know, the famous ones, you know, Beyonce and all of them, they really start there, you know, and that's where I started as well. And that's where I really grew. My mom was the one that really just put me in front of the whole church congregation just as a young kid. You know, I remember even crying and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, obviously she heard me sing at home, you know, in the car, whatever. I really loved music as a kid. And then she said, no, let's just try singing, you know, in church. And then from there, just really grew and grew and grew. And then picked myself up, started singing a cappella music in church. And when I started growing, getting more into the music, started listening to different influences outside of, you know, gospel, that's when I really started to harness the Lungisa brand and who I am as a singer. You know, I found my voice, found, you know, who I actually am and want to emulate in that, you know, R&B space outside church. And I started listening to Brian McKnight. Was the first one of the first people when I was really young. Music Soul Child is one of my favorite artists ever. Chris Brown was also a person that I really loved. And from there, really, it was just trying to see who I can be, you know, and trying to figure myself out musically. Then growing up, I really pushed because I was famous before. Obviously, a lot of people know me that I was on South African Idols, and that's really where I got my fame. But before that, around 21, 22, 23, in Cape Town, I remember really blooming as an artist, you know, trying to figure myself out. And the first time I sang outside of church, I remember it was like 2010. I think 2011, I think, you know, first time singing at a club, Long Street, you know, Long Street, Cape Town.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the vibe. And it was actually for a karaoke competition. It was a karaoke competition. You know, my friends dragged me because they heard me singing at Rez. I ended up winning the actual thing, the whole thing. And then that's really where I started. There's even a video actually of my first performance. I sang Music Soul Child song called Love. There's a video on YouTube that's still there. It's got a lot of views, and that's where I really started to find myself. Then I got famous, got a bit famous in Cape Town, and then I decided, you know what, it's actually time for me to get bigger, enter South African Idols. And a lot of people don't know that I actually entered twice. First one was 2014, made it, obviously got the golden ticket. And then when I got to Sun City, I was unfortunately the first person to go home. And obviously crushed me. And but the next year, I picked myself up and I was like, you know what? Really, I don't want my daughter to grow up thinking my dad was the person that gave up and didn't really want to pursue. And so went again, 2015. Made sure that time that let me tick off all the boxes that are required, you know, to get where I want to get. And where I really wanted to get was top 10, and I made it. Miraculous for me, obviously, being a fan of the show, knowing the show, loving the show, watching all the people on the show and really wishing to be there. And then saw myself in top 10 and it was great. And then from there...
Just to pause, yeah. You mentioned there were boxes that you needed to tick yep. in the second year.
Yeah.
So what did you feel was not there the first time you entered
yep.
when you got the first red seat?
Sure.
And what were those boxes that allowed you to get into the top 10 the next year?
Sure. I mean, the first one, which is obviously the big one, I think, and people really miss it, is Idols is a story. You have to have a story. You have to have something that you're doing this for. You know what I mean? And that's where the people fall in love with you. Because, I mean, talent is like, what, 10% of the whole thing, to be honest. The people that have won the show that are not really as musical as other people that, you know, top 16 or even top 32, you know
yeah.
what I mean? But those people didn't have anything. There's no... I was really baseless in 2014. I was just doing it for... Because I just... wanted to sing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And didn't have a purpose, didn't have, you know, something that drove me. And when I came back, when I thought of my daughter and thinking, you know what, this is actually for her. It really is. And that's what I was just being honest, and they took it further, and it really helped me, I guess, in that aspect. And it built, you know, that rapport of fans and people falling in love with me at the time. And then that's the first one. That's the first one. A story. You know, gotta have a story.
Would you think and would you agree or disagree with me that someone who's had a very challenging story, very difficult life, would potentially get more fans and get higher in the show simply because they've got that heart-wrenching story?
No, 100%.
Okay.
100%. It goes with it. You know, obviously you have to have the talent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to crack that top 16, top 10 in this country. It's very, we have a lot of talented singers in this country. So you have to have the talent.
Yeah.
But that thing, you know, having that, you know, that backing of a story is really what's really going to push anyone in any show, in any show. It's showbiz, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was the one thing. I should take one box, obviously vocally, yeah. I had to go back and check, you know what? What did I not do right at that time? And relevance. I did songs that time that were just not relevant. Not my age, just songs that I loved. And not thinking about, okay, what the audience is going to think, what the judges are going to actually say. Well, how do I want to brand myself as an artist? All of those things. I had to go back and emulate that. And I think I did pretty well. To that, I think I'm still sticking to that. Because one of the things that they told me on the show, which was Randall, was that I am one of the most versatile people he's ever really met on the
yes.
show as a singer and so forth. And I think that's what I was driving for at the time, because I just wanted to do every kind of genre. I wanted to just showcase who I actually am.
Yeah.
And today I'm still the same person. So,
but wouldn't you, in that type of scenario, yes, when you're first getting in, you should have an idea of a brand in mind
yeah.
and then only show versatility later on. Because if you show versatility too soon, too quickly, then it can confuse the people. It's like, is he this or is he this?
Yeah.
I don't really know, can't really gauge.
100%. And okay. You're so right. You're so, so right. Because I had to have, you know, that balance. And it's a balancing act to see,
yeah.
okay, when can I actually show my versatility? Is it too soon? Is it too late? And all of
yeah.
that. But I think we ended up doing it pretty okay, because every song that I picked, fortunately, was something that I enjoyed, you know, and I think it was all about that, me being in the moment and enjoying what I sing,
yes.
you know what I mean?
So, and that's another box to tick.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the big boxes to tick, yeah. actually, enjoying being in the moment.
Okay, so now after Idols?
Yeah, after Idols, it was kind of a roller coaster, because, you know, the fame, you know, it's quite a lot to take into, because... It just booms. It really is a show that's huge. I mean, millions of people watch it
mm-hmm.
and engage with you before, after, during. It's big, you know. I didn't realize how big it was until I was on the show. And after, you know, after, it was just, it was a lot. I did a lot of gigs. I did a lot of activations. I was just ambassador of this and that. I was there, you know. I was assigned to a PR company called Allegro. That time, I think Donald was one of the artists that was in the company. And then end up releasing my debut single called Ngapagati, which is really, really dope. His first song was actually a house song, deep house, you know, soulful house. And that's what I was doing at that time, you know. And that's also one of the things that I wanted to show. I can dabble into different things.
Yes.
You know, over the years that has changed. I mean, right now I'm back to that. I'm doing a bit of dance music as well. So when I did that, got more fans that were outside of Idols, which was pretty interesting for me, because all I knew at the time was the people that followed the show, and you know, and that's one of the mistakes that I feel like a lot of people that are on the show get wrong, progressing from that, because they stay in that Idols bubble and they want to be the Idols babies. I had to take myself out of that.
Yes.
I had to, you know, remove myself.
And maybe that's why some of them just get forgotten, because 100%. They stay in that bubble, and then all of a sudden we don't hear from them again. It's 100%. Like, where's that person? And they
100%, because on the show you're not yourself as well. You're doing cover songs, you know.
Yes,
obviously in your way, but it's still cover songs. So what they do after the show, they actually go more into corporate gigs and so forth, and which doesn't really build you as an artist, because even at those gigs you're told what to sing, you're told what to do. So I had to really take myself out, see what I can do outside of that, and I started writing. I started finding who I can be. Started inserting myself in and collaborating with different artists in the industry. You know, house DJs and other people, and then I got signed, and then just grew and grew and grew from there.
From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes of creating or producing or writing a song, is it easy every time? What motivates it? Do you always write yourself, or do you collaborate with other artists? Tell us the journey of your creative process.
I think it really varies. I mean, on my first album, there are songs that I didn't even write. I love them. Love them. And then there are songs that are personal. You know, they come from somewhere really deep. And sometimes off the cuff. If a DJ really is playing something really hot at the moment, and then jump on that, and then becomes a song. So I wouldn't really say that there's a certain style or a fixed way that I do things, but I think it's just comes when it comes. You know, the creativity doesn't stop, doesn't end. Whether it's a sad song, whether it's a fast song, whether it's a song that I took time to write. Yeah, it just varies really.
And when you're singing a song that's been written by someone else, do you connect to it straight away? Or does it take a little longer for you to connect to those words because you haven't written them?
It's an interesting question, because the ones that fortunately that were written for me, I just really connected with at the time. Not a lot of people, you know, have tried to write for me. I don't know if it's because I keep my brand really close to myself or whatever, but the songs that have been written for me, I really have connected with them same time.
So they were meant to come to you.
I think so.
And what do you enjoy about performing live?
Oh my goodness, it's the people, man. It's an adrenaline thing that most artists really know what I'm talking about. Connecting with the fans, seeing their reactions, them singing back, just showcasing who I am, really, and entertaining people.
So I'm the person always at front in concerts, jamming, dancing, doing my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around me and everyone's got their cell phones up, trying to get the perfect video, perfect picture, perfect whatever they're trying to get.
Yeah.
So being on the recipient end of that, of all these cell phones, don't you feel that somehow you're missing the reactions and the connection because the cell phone is in front of their faces instead of seeing their faces directly? Or is it just something that we are used to now, so you don't even think about it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're just used to it because it's just there, you know. Everyone is here. They're dancing, but they're singing, and but they look at their phones, but they're looking at you. So it's like I don't really mind it.
It frustrates me so much.
Really?
Because I'm right in front. You like just there.
Probably as a comedian, it probably would be because obviously a comedian has to like talk and be there. And then they probably need engagement there. But with entertainment with singing, I don't really mind it. They want to capture the moment. You know what I mean? They want to. It's not like a telling jokes, and so I don't really see.
So as I was saying, you're right there.
Mm.
I'm here, and I find that the people are looking at you through a size of a screen that they could be watching your TV.
At home, yeah.
When you are right there, like put your phones
down
out,
and like engage in the moment.
Yeah,
type of
so
thing.
Like pre to doing celebs events and doing posts and stuff, I never took my phones out when I went to concerts. It was just like me trying to absorb everything, being in the moment. But now, obviously, I'm doing Celeb Savant, so I have to do a couple of posts. So I just like, okay, phone out, picture, video, phone away, Just come back to the moment and be present. I've interviewed over 100 artists now, and a lot of them have said they want the phones away. And others of them have said, you know what, they're so used to it now, it's what
it's
it
part
is.
Of the thing. It's you can't stop it, man. It's part of the thing. Internet is where we live off.
So well, I mean, you're too young, but I remember back in the day, before cell phones, when you went to a concert, if you had a camera, they would confiscate the camera.
Yeah. Now it's just
like, they can't confiscate 20,000 phones. Who's that? Be walking at the end. Whose phone's this? Whose phone?
I don't really mind it. It's part of it.
Okay, so what's next on your journey?
Yeah, man. I was actually still trying to relay the story. You know, of I think we were at the point where.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted.
I just signed. No, it's fine.
Sorry. Carry on.
I just signed with the PR company.
Yes.
Did well with the single. And then from there, I think it was 2017, where one of the boutique record labels actually picked me up, called Fifth Season. A really established label in the entertainment industry.
Are they local or international?
Actually, both. They're obviously here, they're local, but doing a lot of things internationally as well.
I must look them up.
Fifth Season. Obviously, the biggest artist that I know from there was AKA. That obviously just sadly passed away, and I'm still working with them even till this day. You know, with Benza and Nanel, very, very great people. So they picked me up in 2017. Did great things. The first time in Mauritius. First time outside the country, actually. and then we did those big gigs, and they released another single. Was also Deep House. And then from there, I think 2018 was when I started really transitioning into R&B, Afro soul, and getting into that space, which was a great transition, because I we've done the Deep House now. People can get it that I'm in there. I love it. Let's try something different, you know, and that's where I did that. Started with a song called "I Love It." People really loved that song. People love it till this day. That's where I started also writing the album called "My Heart to Your Soul," which subsequently the next year won a summer award.
Hashtag drop the mic again.
Let's drop it. Very proud of that moment, man, because it was a time where things weren't really looking great for me. I literally wrote the song while I was going through a lot of stuff. I think that's why it really drew people in, because I was really honest. It was myself, bare. You can hear the emotions. You can hear what I was trying to write about, and I think that's what made it to really win, I guess. And yeah, that's when I started doing R&B and soul, won that award, and then that's when the COVID hit as well, and then obviously we took that hit, and I took that break. And now, fast towards mid last year, when I started really writing again, because I had this inspirational block, whatever they call it, and I started writing. From a place of, I got a point to prove, man, to myself, to my fans, to the purpose, you know, which I know is gonna, you know, be fulfilled. And you can hear it again. You can hear what I'm writing about again. You know, most of my songs are very inspirational. You know, right now, it's like I'm gonna make it. It's either I'm talking to God. It's either, you know, taking myself from somewhere to somewhere, or promising my girl that I'm going to take her somewhere and somewhere, you know. It's really seeing myself, you know. And it's crazy writing from a place of no hope, but writing about hope. That's music, man. And I really hope people can hear that. That's where I am. My journey is about that right now, you know, just digging deep of who I actually am.
Will these tracks culminate into another album?
Yeah, working on an extended play right now, which can 8 songs maybe, you know, I don't know, we'll see. If it's a full body of work, an album, then also that I don't, you know, dispute that. But because I'm transitioning from what I did before, what people know me for, which is R&B and soul, and to dance, I don't want to really make it a full album.
Okay.
I want to really make it an EP, something that's concise and something that I can say, okay, this is the project now, and this is where I want to be now. So yeah, I'm working on something that's towards that line, a project of a couple of dance songs that people are going to really enjoy.
When you're writing an R&B compared to a dance, your energy, your mood, your frame of mind, is it the same or is it different?
It's probably the same.
Okay.
Probably the same in terms of what I want to sing about, or what I want to put out there, but the vibe will obviously be different.
Oh yeah, of course.
The vibe obviously in studio is different. The energy is different, and I think the musicality is different as well. You know, in dance, not a lot of things are intricate as so in R&B. I mean, it's really just rhythm, you know, in dance, and obviously I put a lot of my musicality in there, but with soul and R&B, I was so pedantic, man. With that first album, I'd go to the second verse and check if that guitar is in the right place, if that vocal is in the right place, yeah, or whatever, you know. And with dance, it's a bit different, I think, because not a lot can go wrong. I mean, it's dance music, so.
But also, sometimes with dance music, I don't know if you agree, something going wrong can make it unique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Almost in the rhythm, or it's in the vibe, in the.
And then all of a sudden, this happened. It was like, oh,
it actually sounds
cool.
Great, and you can't really do that with R&B and soul. So that's probably the difference.
Why not though?
I think probably because R&B and soul is more close to like musicians, like jazz musicians and people that really pay attention to stuff. So it can't be just random and say, ah, and then things gonna be cool. Nah.
Okay.
You know, everything has to be in check, you know. Okay. I think that's the difference.
So I love this game. My recipients don't like it, and you'll understand why in a moment. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 weeks, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 months, I know your answer will be different every time. So if I had to ask you to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this interview, what songs would they be and by whom?
Oh, geez. Hey. I was just listening to Frank Ocean, Novocaine. I just jam with that.
Okay.
Yeah, you can chow that. I mean, a lot of my interviews, I don't really, when people ask me my favorite artist, I don't really mention people that are in this country because I didn't really grow up listening to people that are in this country until recently, you know. But now that I'm actually in dance and in this, you know, space, I'd probably say someone that I really like is Musa Keys. Yeah. Probably one of his songs. Yeah.
So you got 3 more. Artists or songs.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let me think.
It's not easy.
I don't think you'd find this one anywhere. It goes way back to when I was about 14 or even younger. But it was what introduced me to Deep House, Queen of Hearts. Time marches on, never ending.
Who's
about? Time keeps its own time. Hey, these old house cats, the American guys, I don't know.
Okay, so for the listening audience, they need to Google Queen of Hearts.
Not cool. A song necessarily, it actually was a compilation, Queen of Hearts.
Okay.
I think my brother remembers it. Queen of
Two
Hearts,
more.
Yeah. It'd probably be a gospel song, man. That's also where my heart is. Yeah, it's anything gospel probably is. Maybe like The Walls Group. I love Zuccotti Cortez. Those are people that are vocally that challenge me. So yeah, maybe something by Zuccotti Cortez.
One more.
Oh, actually, no. Afro Traction. You can play Afro Traction.
Okay.
I love Afro Traction. That's one of the artists that I love in this country.
Lungisa, the podcast is listened to throughout the world.
Yeah.
So as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
Oh, great. I would really love to say to especially people that are in my seat and people want to be where I am and more, is to push yourself. It's really not to give up, to remember who you are and remember what your purpose is. And one of my purposes is just spreading love, spreading positivity. I did that to my first album. It was all about love. In my interviews, I just try to, you know, speak about that and speak about spreading love. And so if you have a purpose, stick to it and pursue it and never give up.
So as Lungisa says, pursue, never give up.
Spread love.
And spread love. Yeah. This is Lebs Vant, signing out.